Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Who, like, right now, there's odds for it somewhere. Who's the favorite in the East next year?
The Knicks conference to lose. Like, they absolutely 1,000% should come out the East the way it looks right now. Like,
the Knicks.
This is a team without a basketball coach.
Yes, but they
coaching doesn't matter.
I'm not going to co-sign that, but
Vegas is proven. It's told you. No, it doesn't matter.
Looking at the Knicks roster, like, yeah, they win 1,000, but like, there's no reason why they shouldn't come out the East.
Are they the betting favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. The Knicks are?
I saw one sporting book. They're the second. They got the second best odds to win it all.
Next to OKC.
Yeah.
I wonder how different that would have been if Ty didn't get hurt yesterday.
Probably.
I mean, they still could have been second. Indiana,
I think it
would have
been different. I think Indiana probably would have got
I think they should have.
Of being second. But, and I can, I know I mentioned Philly. You can say this about Philly as well. I'm not saying that they're just so far ahead of Miami, but Miami not beating New York or Cleveland in a series.
Pat Riley's looking a little funny in this last stage of his career. Keeps striking out or just doesn't get anything done. Like, this.
Well, I don't know how much of that is a fault of, like, his. Like, is it his fault Dame Lillard isn't in Miami?
He tried to.
Dame, KD. Like, it's not just, like, just one player now at this point. It's just the team has needed something for a while and he just hasn't been able to deliver.
Monty McRiley over there?
I'm not going to go that far.
Monty McRiley is crazy.
It's very disrespectful.
I apologize, Pat. Sorry, man.
Monty McRiley. I mean, he got Jimmy. He got Jimmy, you know, before got him over there. And
but the thing, like, you probably needed something. You needed one more, though, I think. Like, the Heat, like, those teams were there. It was like they needed one more. Mm. There was always rumored for someone, but never landed anyone.
I wonder, I'm trying to think about this on the fly. Maybe it's not even that big of a deal, but who didn't he get that he could have gotten?
Pat?
Yeah, like after Jimmy, after he got Jimmy.
Well, Dame is the most. Dame wanted to go to Miami. Again, I don't know that that's Pat Riley's fault,
right,
though.
It felt like Miami was, or my Milwaukee, like, or Portland
was just
me,
like, no,
was over my
we're not
body.
Doing it, yeah. Which is wild, but okay. I mean, there is Durant. They didn't have the money to sign DeMar last year. It's foolish to think DeMar was just hell-bent on coming to Sacramento because he loves the farm to Fort Capital. Like, Sacramento had the most money to offer. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they couldn't execute a trade the way that Sacramento did in order to acquire DeMar DeRozan.
And they
probably couldn't with their cap situation at the time.
I think some of the rumors were yesterday that Pat Willing was unwilling to give up Jaime Jaquez, the 20, and maybe it was Ware as well, in a KD trade.
Yeah, I just don't think they were including Ware at all, too.
So,
but my thought with that is like, yeah, like, why would I give up those guys for, and now things have changed after yesterday, but Miami, if we get KD and have to give him money, we're still not a championship team.
But why would Pat Riley be unwilling to give up Jaime Jaquez when every Sacramento Kings fan says...
I see where you're going. And that's the question, not to that, but to how the hell is DeMar going to get there?
That's what I'm... Yeah.
If he wasn't willing to give that up for Kevin Durant, no disrespect, but why is he giving that up for DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, I don't think that he is.
I wonder how much of it was like,
people have been raiding the tabloids too much when it comes to...
I wonder how much of it was wearing the 20th that Pat really didn't want to get rid of, because like Jaime Jaquez wasn't really getting too many minutes towards the end of last season.
Yeah,
he kind of fell out of the not rotation completely, but fell out of favor a bit, I feel.
I agree with you. I think that has more to do with it, the wear in the 20 than Jaime Jaquez. But I think the Kings in any potential deal with Miami is going to be targeting that 20. Like, I don't think you'd be happy walking away from a DeMar DeRozan trade with Jaime Jaquez and Duncan Robinson. I like those guys as players, but it feels like you could get just something, whether a player or that 20 pick.
Yeah.
Not Ware. Like, I don't think Ware would be involved in that. But if I'm Miami, I guess this is what I've been saying about them. I don't need to give up all my assets to gain a player that might get me to the second round. This was the 10th seed last year. Now you are in the East. And you were in the East before the injuries. That was already looking suspect. But now with the injuries, it's looking even more suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got DeMar DeRozan, if I'm Pat Riley, are we better than Detroit? Are we better than New York? Are we better than Cleveland? Can we even, like, realistically beat those teams in a series? I don't know about that.
But is that the
Orlando,
only...
Orlando, I forgot about them.
Is that the only way, though, to look at... Is that the only way to look at constructing your team? Like, Miami right now... You talk about let's say you move off Jaime Jaquez, you fill it out however you want to. Is there a 1 year plan, 2 year plan, like 3 year plan? Is it like, okay, maybe we're not better than such and such, such and such, such and such. We're gonna fight. That's what we do. Eric Spoelstra is gonna have them fight. We're gonna have DeMar DeRozan here, who's one of the most accomplished players in this league. We know what DeMar is gonna be good for. We're going to remain relevant in this conference. We're going to remain relevant in this league. And then next year, when DeMar's contract essentially gets cut in half, DeMar retires, DeMar goes to play somewhere else. Now we've got a little extra cap money. We're still Miami. I'm still Pat Riley. I could still attempt to make a few moves out here. I could still attempt. Like, I think there's a way to maintain a level of relevancy if you're Miami, while not necessarily competing for a championship, but still essentially competing for a championship. Like, they advanced as a play-in team to the finals, which a lot like, you know, we talk about how that the Warriors winning the title is the worst thing that ever happened to them. It's great, you have the moment, but it's also, it destroyed the entire idea of this two-timeline thing. Mm-hmm. Remind me, I want to get back to that. A two-timeline thing.
Okay.
But it destroyed that idea, because it's like, yo, we can win. We can continue to win. When in reality, they couldn't, which is why they went out there and got Jimmy Butler. But the fact is, they did it. They did win. They had that moment. Miami, they got to the finals as a play-in squad. The team didn't have no business being in the NBA finals. No one believes that that was the second best basketball team in the league. But if you're Miami, you're like, that's what we do. That's what we do. You don't have to believe in this. We're going to put together a squad and we're going to compete every single year. Then we're going to get into the playoffs and we're going to win series that you think we're going to lose. Mm-hmm. And Heat fans could say that's the worst thing that ever happened to us, because they're just going to keep trying to do that every year while we're never actually going to have a championship team. So I wonder if that's what they just fight for. Jesse said, oh, I'll get you to the top six. That might be all Miami feels like they need. Get me to the top six. We'll take care of everything else from there.
Well, this past playoff should have beat the starch out of that argument.
Well.
You remember what Cleveland did to them?
Well, yeah, weren't y'all talking crazy about the way Cleveland was playing that series?
Look
what happened. Look how it ended up.
Not winning by enough.
Yeah, and they got bounced in the second round. Me and Casey were right.
Oh, now we're fast forwarding.
You know, yeah, me and Casey were right.
You guys are frauds.
No, we were not frauds. We were right.
You guys
are
frauds.
No, you guys all yelled at us. We couldn't even be free on our show and get our takes out. All right. We said, yeah, Cleveland's looking a little weird. You guys are like, oh, no, you guys don't know what you're talking about. And look who got bounced in the second round.
Everybody was looking weird. Cleveland and Miami. Mm. Miami, weren't they down like 50?
I think they were down 70 in one game. That was an embarrassing series. Didn't Cleveland win that series by the most points like in NBA history?
Yes.
That is insane.
Oh, man. But I'm making jokes, but I get your point. That could be how Pat is.
I'm just asking. Yeah, that's not a team that's just going to roll over like that's a team that's got.
And they've earned that. They've earned that. I do think like some of it is fluky, like the – I shouldn't say fluky, but the NBA Finals appearance. But that is a tough team. They are super well coached, and they are somebody that when they get into a playoff series, elevates to playoff basketball level. Like they do that. I make jokes about it, but what happened in this first round against Cleveland is a little bit of an anomaly with that program. Mm. Like they – hell, the first two games they were competing. Mm-hmm. Somehow Miami, they just got backhanded when they got back home. But in the first two games of the series, like we were legit like, hey, they kind of let Miami hang around or ooh. Miami's a little closer on this other stuff. So that's traditionally what they do.
I completely forget about Cleveland when we have these conversations about the East next year.
You gotta remember them, man. I think they'll be perfectly fine.
Wow, Jesse forgets about Cleveland. Who knew?
Are not the only one.
I got a wild card reference here for DeMar. Given all we've been talking about,
there's an advisor in LA.
I'm working through this in my head.
Oh,
this might not work.
X them out. DeRozan's like, no.
Who? Oh, yeah, LA. No, I was thinking Indiana.
Things may have changed a little bit.
Can you stay? Again, we're talking a year, probably. Can you stay afloat? Averaging a 22-point-per-game score to go along with Siakam. I mean, I think the team as is can stay afloat, not to minimize Tyrese because Tyrese makes them a championship contender. But and maybe I shouldn't have used that phrase. Can you continue to compete in that conference with a Bucks team that's going to be lacking, with the Celtics team that's obviously still very, very, very good but is lacking? Their best player. Could you add DeMar to Indiana and put yourself back into the conversation where this team might be able to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals and again compete for a championship?
What are you willing to give up?
I haven't worked. This was live, pal.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
I haven't worked through that.
I got their contract numbers. You'd probably TJ McConnell.
I don't think you can do it.
What's the thing? Like then,
TJ's like a new Indiana legend.
Well, then there's Aaron Nesmith. You're not trading him, right?
No.
They really like Obi. He's 14 mil. Andrew Nembhard is really good.
Obi, what's Obi and Mathurin?
Obi is 14 mil per. Mathurin's got 9 years, but he's on a team option next year, so he's due for a new deal.
He's got 9 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can make it work with that money because DeMar's 24, so. That'd be 23 right there. You can make that work, but
Obi and Mathurin.
I think Obi would be the one. I don't know if you can do Mathurin. I don't think you could do them both. Is there another filler piece you could throw in there? Because Obi could be one that you could do it with.
You could.
Because after this postseason, you can't trade TJ McConnell. That'd be crazy.
You probably what's Shepherd looking like? Like maybe you do Obi and Shepherd.
Shepherd's not going to be enough money. He's only $3 million per year.
I'm just asking. I'm.
It's a nice thought.
Throwing it out there. I'm trying to keep my Pacers going. Yes, sirs.
Oh, well, look at this. Look at who's Sacramento and who's not Sacramento.
Jairus Walker?
We do like Jairus Walker.
That works. Are we talking to Jairus Walker for DeMar?
Yeah, no, I'm Sacramento.
Okay. Lake
Shore. Yeah, I'm what? Sacramento.
Oh, that was
okay.
Uncalled for.
That was uncalled for.
Well, control the buttons and then maybe you'd.
Don't do that. Walker, we definitely do Walker, but I don't think Indiana would, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indiana would be like, nah, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Well, we tried.
Well, I wasn't even trying. I was just asking.
Why did you say no to Mathurin? The Kings or the Pacers?
The Pacers.
I think you can get more from Mathurin.
Yeah, I think particularly this year with Ty, I absolutely think you could use Mathurin. I think OB is a little more...
Well, even if you're trying to trade Mathurin, too, I think you get more than just a one-year player.
Sure. Sure. Well, you said they're at decision time with Mathurin.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, the team you trade him to, I'm assuming, is going to give him a contract extension.
Mathurin's Keegan's class?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Or is it?
I think he is Keegan's class.
Davion's. Okay.
He's definitely not Davion's. He might have been a year after Keegan, but I think he's Keegan's class.
I think he is Keegan. He's out of Arizona, right?
Well, wait. Yeah. Who was drafted a year after Keegan then?
We didn't have.
Oh, we didn't have. Oh, okay. All right. By the way, the draft is in 2 days.
Yeah.
Not that
on ESPN 1320, by the way.
Oh, yeah, big ups to
you can
us.
Both
to
days,
Kings.
Both days.
You can listen to the Kings not make a selection on Wednesday and then tune in on Thursday.
Wait a minute. I mean, they would know these things better than I would. They put Thursday at 4:30, huh?
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock this year.
Yeah, because last year it was like 1 o'clock.
That's what the second round, yeah.
So I was like, hold on, what you mean?
No, yeah. I double-checked that this morning.
Yeah. We'll come back. Man, I feel like there's a lot that we just have not gotten to yet. We still have to get back to Tyrese. We still got more King stuff to talk about. James Hamm, top of the 3 o'clock hour. Steelo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Oh, yeah. KC made a note in here. Oh, I see that. No, let's talk. Let's talk about the coverage of the NBA Finals as well. Steelo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Steelo and KC here on ESPN 1320. On this beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon, me and Jesse were just talking about during the break, Oklahoma City and their celebration or lack thereof. And people were like, oh, they're so young, they didn't even know how to pop champagne. That's cool. But, like, it should have popped off. Should have popped off. Should have been a celebration.
It was pretty weak.
I won't read the Jason Jones group text, but
why? What'd he say?
Somebody finally seeing it my way. And ironically, this was more lit than I'd seen them in the past.
Let's see. Most boring celebration in finals history. Fans look bored. KC was the exact opposite of a movie. Jason Jones, they stood and applauded. I predict zero reports of looting in OKC. And someone tweeted a video of, like, right when the fans got outside, cops go, please disperse.
Oh my.
Please disperse. Return to your homes. Please disperse. It's like, man, at least let them hang out and have fun. You don't have to burn stuff and tear down light poles, but hey, congregate with your people.
Please disperse. Come on.
What's the problem?
Come on. We don't want nothing crazy happening, but come on, man. I think I forgot. I think it's Jasmine Watkins on Twitter. She had the tweet saying Applebee's is going to stay open an hour later in OKC. Oh.
2 for $20 for everybody.
Oh, man. They stayed up till 10.
Oh, man. Hey, what would be a worse place to win a championship?
Utah.
I was about to say, I was going to ask Utah or OKC, but it's absolutely
It's always Utah. Man,
you know, some people will say here.
No,
dumb.
No,
that's crazy.
You could say that's because you've never been.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
And I've
about.
Never been to Utah, but yeah, I know it stinks.
That would be dumb. Utah's number one. Now,
Utah worse than OKC?
Yeah. You can't even drink after 10.
Yeah, you got to go through a mission to get a drink in Utah, it seems.
Well, I think that, isn't that only on Sunday?
I think that's every day.
Oh, is it really?
Well, Jason Jones was making it seem like it was on Wednesday.
I thought
it was
every day.
Stories.
That is terrible. That is terrible. Okay, let's ask AI. When is the cut? Did you notice, by the way? I don't know if anyone else, if this happens at, when is the cutoff for alcohol in Utah? I don't know if anyone else has noticed this at work. Did you notice a particular individual responds to emails through some sort of like automated AI service?
No, I did not. But have you seen that?
Complex absolutely does it. If you go back and you look at those emails about the Juneteenth festival, read them again. I asked him one day, I was like, yo, you're using a service for this, right? Like, you're using some sort of AI thing. Like, you're not responding that way, are you? He goes, oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
So let's see. Well, Google does that. Have you seen that on your replies? They give you like three sentences.
I've never tried it.
They give you like a paragraph.
I see
response.
The option to do it. Yeah, I think that's think that's what Complex uses.
It's like, this is crazy.
In Utah, the cutoff for alcohol service in bars and restaurants is generally 1 a.m. This applies to the sale of liquor, wine, flavored malt beverages. Establishments can begin serving alcohol at 10 a.m. I don't know what the...
You can only get alcohol with food at restaurants.
That's facts. Yep. Facts.
So you can't... Can you go to a
state
bar?
Liquor stores are closed on Sundays and holidays.
Taverns, breweries, and bars, let's see. They're allowed to sell alcohol from 11:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. Don't require you to order food.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
like those are okay.
They've entered the 2025... You know, fairly recently. So that's good to know.
I think alcohol percentage is limited at 5%.
What?
I don't even know nothing about no.
Like they only serve alcohol that's like 5% or whatever, I guess.
What's a normal situation? What's
a beer? Because isn't like a spirit like all alcohol?
I'm not even sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just looking at Utah state liquor laws right now. This is Utah.com. What do you want from me?
Find you a show that will Google Utah liquor laws.
Hold on, I'm about to...
Anyways, right OKC now. Did not look entertained last night. That might have actually been... Now, the Tyrese injury could have played a small part in it. Sorry. What's that?
No, I was like, that's just not going to get it done, Utah. I looked up what's the percentage of alcohol in an old fashioned?
Mm-hmm.
It's 30 to 38%.
Can't have one of those there.
They giving you 5%. Give me a Sprite. Just give me a Sprite.
Sprite's probably 3.5% alcohol anyways. That's funny.
So you think maybe the situation with Tyrese?
Well, obviously, and rightfully so, the atmosphere died. Yeah. Like, I mean, rightfully so, like after the Tyrese injury. It did pick back up in the second half. I think it hit its peak at the end of the third quarter, into the fourth. And then it could be one of those situations where OKC was up for so long. Like, the game was not in doubt mm-hmm. when the fourth quarter, or you got 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. The game wasn't in doubt.
You didn't have any thoughts when they got it to 12?
No, not without Ty. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Because I didn't think T.J. McConnell kept them in the game.
T.J. Iverson.
Man.
What the hell was that all about?
And so.
He a good ball player, but still.
he's terrific. He's had a terrific postseason, but it felt like, it kind of felt like that fourth quarter was inevitable after the Tyrese injury. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, you know, when the game was what it was at halftime, it was like, okay, this was great. But as they like fight, it was like the outcome just feels inevitable. Mm. And then, you know, the end of the third, start of the fourth go the way that it goes. And then maybe just the celebration was so long that by the time the buzzer actually expired, you had wrapped your head around being the NBA champions for 30 real life minutes at that point. And there was just no. Also, this is a boring ass basketball team when it comes to celebrating, but it was just like, oh, all right. Jason Jones was right. They just stood and applauded.
That's it.
All right.
Good for OKC though. They got their championship. They've had a little, they've had a few heartbreaks. So good for them, I guess. It's all good.
Yeah, good for them.
I guess
I like the Thunder. Even though I found myself rooting for Indiana in this series.
KD, Harden, and Russ, who wins a series in a 7-game series between these two teams?
All three have been Houston Rockets now, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that graphic yesterday. Said
they'll get one right eventually.
What was the question? Sorry.
I guess who would win in a 7-game series between this Thunder team and the Russ, Harden, KD team?
I feel like that Thunder team, this Thunder team has a deeper roster.
Really? I think the other team would win.
Really?
Well, the other team ran into tougher competition, I feel like, in their little playoff run.
Yeah, tougher competition. And this, I'm not trying to shade this one at all because this team is great.
Serge versus Chet.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Serge.
Yeah.
Obviously, those three you had. I don't know if he's as – I'll say he's not as good as a defender as Caruso. Caruso's fantastic. Ooh. I was about to say Roberson. He was still around.
Oh, yeah. Roberson.
He was good. Roberson was one of them. Though.
Yeah, but Roberson was one of those ones, man. Like, if he was healthy, because his thing was always, he'd be like, when he was on the, like, he was super impactful to what they did.
He was.
Super impactful.
He couldn't shoot, though. You know that.
No, but he was a good defender.
He was
a good player to have on your roster.
He absolutely was. Who else did they have? Was Eric Maynor on that bench? So that might be. Eric Maynor was about the same as Cason Wallace, though.
This is 12, right?
Yeah. Eric Maynor, I'm trying to – Nick Collison was still there, and he was pretty productive. I think I'm going to go with the –
Kendrick Perkins, if you're into that sort of thing.
Well, that's when he was
– I'm absolutely
– Derek Fisher.
Not interested in Kendrick Perkins.
That's when Perk actually
whatsoever.
Was wearing Timberlands on the court.
Reggie Jackson was a rookie on the squad.
Mm.
Was he? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He was a rookie on this team.
Mm. What's his 12?
Yeah, I might change my opinion on that.
Yeah, KD averaging 28 that year. Russ was 23.6, and then Harden was about 17. Sixth man of the year as well.
And you had Ibaka doing his thing.
Serge.
Ibaka was
12.
Ibaka finished second in defensive player of the year.
Mr. Campbell to some.
And did we mention Harden?
I know he just said it.
It was briefly. Well, I mean, yeah, before that, we briefly mentioned him.
That's crazy. That's a crazy squad.
And they didn't win.
They went up against the Heatles.
Ran into the best version of LeBron James.
Yeah. One of the greatest versions ever. Yeah. Like that LeBron was crazy.
That was the best Heat team, huh? Like of the Heatles era. That second year was the best team, huh?
Yeah. Was that the year? Third year was pretty good too.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Was the second year the year they had the 28 game winning streak though?
Yes. Yeah.
They had a group.
I don't remember much truthfully about the third year except for LeBron.
Was there a lockout that season or something?
There was a lockout that
season. Okay, yeah, because I'm seeing all these teams.
The third year? The 66?
The 66 games, yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Wait, that was the second year?
Yeah.
11-12 was the lockout year because, yeah, it was 66 games that season.
Because they lost the first year. And I remember because I was like, man, I hope people don't, like, try to use this against them. Like, he gets his first chip in a strike-shortened season.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, he finished 46-20 that year.
46.
That's a tough, their best season was 12-13 when they won the title. They finished 66-16.
The third year, you said?
Yeah, that's when they beat the Spurs in 7.
66-13. Wow.
Mm.
Wow. That was the year. Was that the year they played the Pacers in a 7-game series?
Yeah, beat Pacers in 7 in the conference finals, and they beat the Spurs in 7. Beat the Bucks in 4, and then the Bulls in 5 in the first two rounds.
It was a little rocky, that playoff run. They were down 2-1 to Indiana that series. 2-1 in a game 4 in Indiana. That's when LeBron, I think, threw the full court alley-oop pass. I believe.
Okay. James Hamm at the top of the hour. Let's.
I know you wanted to talk about the coverage.
Yeah, let's talk about the coverage, and then we'll get to a couple of more thoughts on Tyrese before James joins us, and then we can get James's thoughts on Tyrese. Because you asked earlier, I jotted this down, thankfully, what should be done about these injuries? What can be done about these injuries? But you noted that people were really upset about the coverage that ESPN and ABC had of these NBA finals. There was a lot of criticism of the pregame show, the countdown, NBA countdown. There was a lot of, I have some issues with the halftime show. And then, you know, the post game is what it is. I feel like I know what you're going to say regarding this, but what was your opinion?
What do you think I'm going to say?
Well, you don't care.
None of this stuff bothers you.
No.
It's kind of whatever. I also feel like some of the things that people get upset about with Stephen A, with Kendrick Perkins, some of the things, not all the things, some of the things that they do, they kind of be tripping. But like you need some personality, some entertainment out there.
I don't think they're entertaining. And I think this is where
entertaining to you.
L. Duncan. Mike and Tony. Like, I mean, I guess my frustration is, well, one, there's two things. Don't be entertaining at the expense of the athletes that you're covering. And I think my frustration lies with, Stephen A. Smith disgusts me. Like, I know you like him. Stephen A. has turned a really unfortunate corner. It is just blatantly obvious to me he doesn't watch this game anymore. And this is the downside to ESPN's current business model. Is you're right. You're a personality. This is WWE. It's entertainment, pal. There isn't a world we live in anymore where ESPN has basketball analysts, and they have a group of individuals that cover the NBA. What they have now is ESPN has a roster full of talent, and they pull from that talent to do First Take, to do Get Up, Sports Center, podcast, all of these different shows that they have, and NBA Countdown, and NFL Sunday. They pull, so it's not specialized talent anymore. It's a pool of talent that they have doing all of these different things. Stephen A. makes incredible money because he gets eyes, and that has caused ESPN to kind of put him everywhere between daily podcast, or I don't know how regularly his podcast drops, but he has the podcast and he does all of these different shows to where he can't focus on basketball anymore. And you could be entertaining. And this is where I find like the conversation funny. If you're upset about graphics and the game not feeling special or introductions not being shown, but you're willing to just be okay with that dull ass countdown show, it's confusing to me, because there is no hype to that when every show that Stephen A is on, it's going to center on Stephen A. Whether you call it NBA Countdown or you call it First Take, if Stephen A. Smith is on it, it's the Stephen A. Smith show. And before Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Stephen A. had nothing to offer this series. And the truth is, Kendrick Perkins didn't either. How many times over the last week did these two individuals say to you, Kendrick Perkins, not even Kendrick Perkins especially, both of them did it. Man, one team comes out, they don't play up to the expectations of one of those analysts, and they go, oh, they look scared. Oh, OKC out here playing scared, KC. They out here playing scared. Bro, what does that mean? Are they playing? Stephen A. did it at halftime yesterday. Stephen A. has been so adamant in his take for Tyrese Halliburton. He damn near celebrated Ty's injury yesterday at halftime before someone clearly got in his ear and said, fam, I think you sounded a little too jovial when talking about Tyrese. And then he comes back with the somber voice and, my brother, I hope he's healthy, and all of this dumb stuff. But he said at halftime yesterday, man, OKC out here playing scared. It's the 50th time that he said OKC is playing scared when there's down. Okay, Stephen A., what's that mean? Why is OKC scared? No one asks him because they don't have time to do that the way that show is constructed. No one asks them because he's just going to rant and rave about Kendrick Perkins being annoying. Bob Myers is just going to tell him he's yelling. At no point did Stephen A. note, Indiana's playing their best interior defense of the entire series. That's why so many of the things that were working for Oklahoma City in the six games prior weren't working in the first half of Game 7. What changed? They started running the ball around the perimeter more before going inside in the second half. Then what happened? They started scoring. So does that mean they're not scared anymore? So they start scoring inside, all of a sudden SGA is penetrating a little bit more. Are they not scared anymore? We just, that group of individuals just uses these generic ass terms. They rely on being entertaining versus being informative. Game 7, no matter what, this is it. The last game of the NBA Finals, and that crew, the number one crew on that network that will air the NBA Finals for the next 11 years, had nothing to offer. Absolutely nothing except Stephen A. Smith. Because when Stephen A. is on your screen, it's the Stephen A. Smith show. And it is a absolutely trash product because Stephen A. is spread too thin. He's doing too many different things, and he has no time to focus on the Oklahoma City Thunder and no time to focus on the Indiana Pacers. And the only people that suffer for it are the people who attempt to turn into that broadcast because they're excited for the final game of the season.
I'm not here to defend Stephen A. or Kendrick Perkins or anybody. They're grown men. They know what they're getting into as far as being in this profession. Not everybody going to like them. Not everybody going to like the way they go about things. So there's no defending them as individuals. Doesn't really bother me if people have a problem with them. But I will say this. In the example that you used, sometimes it is like, yeah, you're playing timid, you're playing scared. And I think we get a little, sometimes people want real talk. Like, do you want what would really be said to those people? Or do you want what you're supposed to say on TV?
Tell me the difference.
If Stephen A's in that locker room and he's talking to OKC, or if I'm in that locker room, do you want me to say, this is what I would tell SGA. Get it together. You're playing scared right now. Get in a stance. Lock up on the defensive end. Stop going soft to the cup. Or do you want me to say, well, you know what? When they move that ball around, this and that. Sometimes, I'm not saying all the time. Sometimes it is as simple as going up to those players, whether you're a coach, whether you're a teammate, and saying, stop playing scared, bro.
But the
put a level of aggression into what you're doing. You're playing timid right now.
But most of that, he didn't even say anything as blanket as that. All he said was, "You're playing." It's the same thing Kendrick Perkins said.
But I didn't see the halftime, so I don't know exactly what he said.
Good for you.
And I'm not really.
You're smarter for it.
I'm not really tripping off that. But I'll ask the question again. Do you want like what's really being said and what's really maybe going on in those locker rooms? Or do you want somebody to manufacture a reason as to why what's going on?
No, don't manufacture the reason. Tell me what the reason is.
But it's like, but we go through this.
I'm not a player. You don't have to. I don't. Stephen A's not talking to Ken, to SGA. He's talking to me.
But we go through this sometimes, right? Like not me and you, but like when we talk about the Kings, when we're watching the game, or like people are watching the game and. In the fourth quarter, the Kings hold a team to 25% from the field. Mm-hmm. And I'll come in and I'll be like, their defense wasn't no different than the other day. The other team just missed the shots. Sure. Like, they didn't turn up on defense. They weren't close. No, Cleveland got wide open shots the whole damn quarter.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That's what it is. But somebody will come on and tell you, oh, man, they turned up the intensity on defense in the fourth quarter. And look, they held them to 23% from the field. No, they didn't.
But again, but I think each of those terms. So in what I look for in basically in an analysis mm-hmm. of a game or a player is. And this is like the value of television. Yo, this, they didn't do it. The Kings didn't do anything different defensively. Cleveland missed shots. Mm-hmm. Look, and you show a clip. Like, look, he's 5 feet away from him. Donovan Mitchell missed. Mm-hmm. Other scenario you presented. The Sacramento Kings really turned it up defensively. Look, Keegan Murray closing out on Donovan Mitchell, giving him no space. Like, he took a contested shot time and time again versus last game. The Kings gave up 15 open shots. Don't like, I want to understand these teams better. I want to understand the game better. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we, and maybe it's the product of the way ESPN is constructed now, which is the biggest complaint that we've had with, you know, ESPN versus TNT is you can't sink your teeth into anything ESPN is doing.
Right.
TNT is a lot like our show. If we're going to go for 45 minutes, we're going to go for 45 straight minutes. I could do it. Like, I could go on it. I could do everything those guys did last night because they didn't say anything. I didn't play in the league like Kendrick did. I didn't win a championship. I didn't play on multiple finals teams. I haven't covered the NBA for 30 years or 40 years, whatever it's been for Stephen A. I could have done everything they did last night because they didn't offer anything. That's what my guy, in you ask who entertains me. I don't know who entertains me, but I know the guy that I like the most covering the NFL is Lewis Reddick. I learn something from Lewis Reddick anytime he talks. Tim Legler is not the most charismatic individual in the world. I'm going to learn listening to him. Mm-hmm. I used to learn listening to Doug Collins. You love Hubie. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn listening to Hubie.
Here's the other thing about that, though. All those guys you mentioned, they got more than a minute and a half. And I'm not defending
Stephen
A. or Kendrick being, you know, behaving like clowns. But they've got to get whatever their point is, they've got to get it across in about 25 seconds.
My last argument is be consistent in your point. Don't tell me that Tyrese had no business being out there in game five, that he's hurting his team. He needs to sit his ass down. He's hurting everything in game five. He goes on to win game six. You don't have anything to say and then feel bad for him. Oh, man, I commend him for being out there playing in game seven.
Who said?
Kendrick Perkins did.
Kendrick also said he shouldn't have played. He said on one of these NBA Today shows, I think before game six, it's like, I would tell Tyrese, do not play.
So which is it then? Don't commend him for playing if you have been adamant that he shouldn't play.
He's saying I would tell him he shouldn't play. We'll come back. We got
Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320. All right, man. James Hamm going to join us here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about the conclusion of the NBA season and the Kevin Durant trade and what might be ahead for the Sacramento Kings. But Casey and I were having a discussion about the coverage of the NBA Finals, particularly what ESPN ABC had to offer. And I just think it just depends on what you look for when you watch television. And Stephen A. Smith doesn't really appeal to me. And you also kind of knew when Tyrese got hurt, given the very divisive nature in which people were the divisive stances people were taking with this injury. Like, people were really adamant he should play. People were really adamant he should be in full control. He should make the decision. He should decide if he play. People were adamant, bro, you can't play. The risk is too high. And I pointed this out earlier, man. In these types of situations, it's tough to tell someone. If this had been game one, if the injury had occurred in game one, I wouldn't feel this way. I would feel like the doctors have to step in and say, bro, you can't. Like, you just can't. I'm so sorry. You cannot play the next 3 to 6 games with this injury, it will almost certainly end in the worst way possible. I didn't love it in game 6 with 2 games left. I didn't love game 6 and game 7, Ty having to play through this. But once you got through 6 and 7 was in front of you, I don't know how you could tell him you can't play. Mm-hmm. I just hope that the doctors in Indiana, because all that rang through my head last night, and I know everyone, you know, once you felt how you felt about, you know, Ty's injury, I know everyone immediately thought about Kevin Durant. And one of the first things I thought about Kevin Durant was Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr made the horrible misstep of saying, well, we've been told he can't injure it any worse. Yeah, maybe you can't injure your calf any worse, but that's not what anyone's worried about. And all I hope is that the people in Indiana, Rick Carlisle, doctors, whoever was involved in this, said, you got one game left. I understand this is an opportunity for you to win a championship, but the odds of you losing the next year of your career are much higher than they normally are. Mm-hmm. Make the case the odds of you losing the next year of your career are extremely high. If you're willing to take that risk because you're willing to deal with those consequences, I'm not going to stop you. Just understand that that risk is incredibly high. Mm-hmm. I hate that. I would much rather the doctors step in and say, I can't let you play. But again, I would feel very, very differently if this was game 1 of the NBA Finals where this injury started versus game 7.
Yeah, like the doctor's right, no doubt. But like game 7 in the NBA Finals, this is what Tyrese and pretty much every other athlete that's in that position has worked their entire lives, every day and night out. That's tough to take that decision out of their hands.
As long as the consequence isn't death.
Yeah.
Right? Like if this is the Super Bowl and you've got a concussion, well, right. Sorry, dog, you're not playing.
Right.
Like, we're not doing that.
Right.
But that's not what this is. It's a brutal rehab. It is long. It is lengthy. It's going to... Rick Carlisle's got to understand this, too. Your team is going to be very different if the worst-case scenario happens. Mm-hmm. And as long as everybody understood, then I have to be okay with the decision that they all made. And I hope that that's a decision that they all made together.
Right. I think two different conversations can be had with this situation. I said, you know, last week, said again over Twitter, if I was somebody close to Tyrese, there's dad, brother, cousin, Rick Carlisle, anybody, I would say, Tyrese, I would suggest you do not play. Like, yeah. I would advise you not to play. But that's where it stops. That is a grown man who will make his decisions. And if he wants to take that risk, it's hard for me to tell him, no, you can't take that risk.
The way I see it, it's kind of tough. I see it the other way, where it's like, if like Tyrese played in game 6, and it's like, I couldn't imagine getting to game 7 of the NBA Finals, wanting to be a pro your whole career. It's like, you're finally here in this moment. It's like, can you imagine just sitting on the bench? Like, yeah, you got a strained calf and all that, but like, team's getting waxed by the Thunder, and it's like, you could be sitting there just kind of, what if I did give it a go? Like, just, you never found out, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you just sit with that your whole life.
Yeah. I just don't know that he doesn't sit with a different what if now.
Mm-hmm. But like we talk, I think going in, we don't know, we'd have to hear them talk about it, but going into game 7, I'm sure there's an aspect where Tyrese, I don't know, made peace with the right term or whatever, kind of made peace with the fact, yeah, if I'm out here, like, I could blow my stuff out, but like, this is game 7 of the NBA Finals. Like, there's at least knowing, you know?
Yeah, and I feel that's his decision, you know, his decision to make. Once again, I know it sounds harsh, but you laid it out perfectly, and you're right. It is one of the worst injuries you can have as a professional basketball player or mm-hmm. athlete, yeah. But it's not life-threatening. It's not the same as a concussion or a heart ailment or
right.
something like that,
yeah.
Where people may have to step in at that point. This is basically you're not taking your life into your own hands. You're taking mm-hmm. your career, mm-hmm. which is, to me, is a little different. And if he wanted to take that chance with his career, That's his call.
Is there any point where Rick Carlisle says, nah?
Yes.
Like, I can't let you play.
Absolutely.
Like, I
used the analogy last week of Deontay Wilder and his trainer. And Deontay said before the fight, he said before a number of different fights to his trainer, I forgot his name, but he said, do not stop this fight ever. If you stop this fight, I'm done with you. I'm firing you. We're not cool no more. Do not stop this fight. And in Wilder Fury 2, Fury was beating the brakes off of Wilder. And the trainer said, he threw the towel in, and he basically said, you can fire me, you can hate me, whatever. I care about you more than I care about this job or anything else like that. I'm not going to see you have damage that you can't come back from. Mm-hmm. Once again, boxing and a torn Achilles, still a little different because you're dealing with the brain and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But Rick Carlisle, I'm not telling him what Rick Carlisle should have done, but there is an aspect of, yeah, he might be the one, the ultimate one to say, Tyrese, I can't. You may call for my job. You may say, go up to whoever the owner is and say, man, fire this guy. But I care about your career too much. I can't take that chance with your career. I'm not going to play you, man. I'm not going to play you. That's an option.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's a equally as difficult stance for Rick Carlisle to take as it would be for Tyrese to take. Because Rick can rationalize, we have a great young team. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we're back here. Meanwhile, you have, someone who's on an expiring contract who's like, I'm never going to get back here. And you're taking our best player out. Mm-hmm. You got guys who have been around the league a long time who could say, yeah, I don't know that I've been in the league 10 years in my first trip here. How are you going to tell us we're going to get back here? We've got a chance to win the NBA championship. Our best player says he can play. Let him play. Mm-hmm. This was from the moment Ty hurt his calves. This was a no-win situation for everyone involved. And the worst case scenario happened yesterday where the Ty gets hurt. The Pacers still lost. You've got nothing out of all of this.
I thought about that.
I don't think there's like a right or wrong answer with this. Just given, like, you see him not playing, and like, yeah, he doesn't tear his Achilles, and you see him playing or whatever. But it's like, essentially, like, if you hold him out of Game 7, aren't you just saving him for that moment again? Like, hoping you get back to that very moment you're kind of holding him out of.
You are, but you're hoping he's healthy at that time.
But yeah, I guess like that's the thing. Like, you just never know if you're gonna get back. Like,
yeah, you don't.
Like, how do you plan for that? Like, you're already there.
Yeah, you can't. Like, that's the thing. You don't know if you're getting back, and to take advantage of, every opportunity. It's why James Harden's performance with Brooklyn will always be the finest of his career for me. Mm-hmm. No matter how many points he scored with Houston or whatever he did with OKC, the fact that he knew what this opportunity was, the fact that he had lived through injuries in Houston to try to be out there for that Brooklyn Nets team against Milwaukee, to me, like, I don't think he'll do anything in his career that will be more telling than that. He recognized the moment. He knew this was it. I don't know what the next round would have brought for him, but he knew there is no next round if we can't get past Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always appreciated that performance.
You know what's interesting about, because much like you and everybody else, I thought about the Kevin Durant situation. And I was thinking about it. And this situation with Tyrese, I think, is a little bit more egregious than Kevin Durant. They're different. Because I thought about it a little bit. And I think looking back on it, we look at it like Kevin Durant hurt his calf in game 5 in game 3, and they put him out there in game 5. Kevin Durant was out for a month. He was out for a month, which is about like what you would say before you would let somebody play again. Like, it's a 4-week injury. And I'm thinking back, and I could be wrong, But a lot of people were saying be careful with the time too. But I also think the argument at that time as well was people didn't believe the Warriors that it was just a calf strain. Wasn't that more of what was going on?
Yes, that was a big part of it. There were, I don't know if they were leaks or speculation, that this is much more serious than anyone on that team is indicating. And there was a belief, if I remember correctly, heading into the playoffs, I don't think it was a particular round, I think it was starting the playoffs, that KD's not going to be ready. He's not going to be healthy. He is not tracking to playing in the playoffs at all.
Well, he at that time, he got hurt in the second round. He got hurt in game five of their second round series against the Rockets.
Then
they swept Portland.
It wasn't coming back. Then he's not coming back in the playoffs. And at all. And it got really loud when the final started. We're testing it. We're doing this. And that's when Steve Kerr started saying the stuff about, he can't aggravate it more. And, doctors are confident and all of these things that I just don't believe could have possibly have been said. And then game five, what game was it?
Game five. But it does make the terminology that Steve used, I don't get it. I promise I'm not trying to be a contrarian. But that does check out with what we think of a calf strain, right? He was out for 4 weeks. They'll say it's a 4 to 6 week thing. Around week three or four, you start testing it out, seeing what you could do. Now, you probably shouldn't go straight into an NBA Finals game off a calf strain. No practices, no G League games or nothing like that. That's dangerous. But, yeah, the calf strain, we think at least 2 to 4 weeks. How long was Trey Lyles out? Remember Trey Lyles was out about three or four weeks?
He was out about a month.
Mm-hmm. And KD got hurt. I was looking last night. He got hurt on May 8th. He tore the Achilles on June 10th. So I was just trying to remember back to it. I think it was more so they didn't believe the Warriors.
Yeah.
Not that he was actually playing with a calf strain.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.